This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of Dining at Disney. And before we launch into the show, we've got some travel deals for you. Kristen, why don't you tell them about their latest travel deal?
Well, if you are looking to visit Walt Disney World, you can take advantage of the Stay Play and Disney Dining promo card. You have to purchase a minimum of a 5-night, 4-day vacation package at any of the select Disney World resorts, and you can save up to $150, which means if you stay 10 nights, you get $1,500.
Ooh, I like it.
Again, that's the amount for the deluxe resort. So,
yeah. Well, it's not every day you get money back from Disney, is it?
Not every day you get money to spend on food at Disney. No.
True that. Anyway, how can people email you to take advantage of this great deal as well as other deals when it comes to traveling to the Disney parks, Universal, or any cruise line imaginable?
You can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Dining at Disney podcast.
Another thing about good food, it brings folks together, all walks of life.
You'll discover all the best restaurants and food as you hungrily explore the Disney parks.
Let's do this thing!
The Dining at Disney podcast.
Welcome to the Dining at Disney podcast. I am Kristen, Disney park enthusiast, foodie, travel expert, and future Orlando homeowner.
Future Orlando. That's good to know. I've got goals. Al John Go here, producer, and I'm a lifelong Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars fan. Welcome to the show. If you haven't already, make sure you like and subscribe to the show and ring that bell. Click it because you want to know when new podcasts and new video content gets posted every single time we do. So go ahead and do that.
Now, today, yes, we have a very special guest.
We do. It is my co-host, my other co-host.
I thought you were going to let me talk.
Yeah, you can. Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is your co-host on Skull Rock Podcast, author Dave Bossert.
Hey, it's great to be back with you guys.
I know. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, Dave. It's like we talked yesterday almost.
I know, almost.
But you know, you've been very busy. A lot of people might know this, the fact that you are an award-winning author with a bunch of awesome books. You've got a great website, davidbossert.com, where you have got so much content regarding Disney, almost being a Disney historian yourself, working for the company. For how long did you work for Disney again, Dave?
A little over 32 years.
Yeah, you see, that gives you one of those really cool pins. And a really cool service award. But I mean it's a long time to be with the company, especially when, you know, you got there right as the Disney Renaissance was taking place.
Yeah, it was you know, you look back now and you go, wow, it was unbelievable, what a time. But in the midst of it, you were sort of like, are we still going to have jobs? Are they actually going to still make animated movies? You know, because there was talk you know, in the mid to late 80s about shutting down Walt Disney Animation Studios. You know, when Michael Eisner, Frank Wells, and Jeffrey Katzenberg came in, they didn't really know much about animation at the time. And you know, if it wasn't for Roy E. Disney, who was vice chairman of the company and the guy who really saved the company and brought in that new management team, you know, they very well may have shut down animation.
Wow.
It's crazy to think that they were going to parcel off and basically sell off different portions of the Disney company and basically dissect it for its parts and I it's hard to imagine considering what the company has become today.
Yes, because instead of getting rid of things, they acquire things.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, it's really amazing. And you know something, Walt Disney Animation Studios, you know, really thrived. And there was that, you know, now we call it the Renaissance of Disney Animation, you know, through the late 80s and into the 90s and early 2000s. And you know, I think, you know, when I look back, certainly animation, you know, is a cornerstone of the company. And, you know, Roy E. Disney said that if animation was well, the company would be doing well. You know, and you know, when you look at animation at Disney over the decades since the company started 100 years ago, you know, it's had its ups and downs, but it's always survived, and it's always put out stellar movies. And you know what? Yeah, every so often you're gonna get, you know, a blooper, something that doesn't do that well or doesn't resonate with the audiences, but. You know, even so, they can continue to turn out great films.
100%. Now, before we get into the food talk, because we're going to talk about some of your favorite Disney restaurants and such and your latest, stuff, Kristen, you had something you wanted to add?
I was going to say, if mm-hmm. that had happened, some of my favorite Disney movies never would have been made.
That's true.
Can you imagine?
I know.
You know, and also, it, you know, when you think about the history of the company, if Walt didn't lose Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, would he have ever created Mickey Mouse?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, a lot of crazy things, a lot of twists and turns over a century of this company's history.
It's mind blowing when you think about it, because as they say, necessity is the mother of invention. And Walt Disney was at the crux of all of that, from losing Oswald that you have in your book, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, that you can check out at davidbosser.com. You know, I got to make sure to put that little
ka-ching. I'll just go ka-ching every time you mention one of my books.
I need the cash register to do that. But between that and, of course, you know, teaming up with iWorks and the multiplane camera and all the technology that it was behind all those great Disney films to give it that scope and that depth of field. And it's just really amazing how the company has grown and still continues to push boundaries in terms of technology and filmmaking.
It really does, you know, and I think, you know, when people look at some of the things that have gone on over the last couple of years, you know, it was a rocky road. You know, Disney in particular got hit very, very hard with the pandemic because it affected so many of their business units. But you know what? They survived, you know, and you know, oftentimes when there's so much uncertainty and choppiness, there's also great opportunities. And I really think that there's a lot of great days ahead coming off of this pandemic. I think the company's going to be stronger and better and bigger and doing great things.
Speaking of doing great things, Dave, you did a great thing recently. You just released your 3D National Parks book, which, you know, we love here because we love the parks, not just the Disney parks, but the national parks.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Kind of as a follow up to your, you know, 3D Disneyland book. And you've got a bunch of other stuff in the works. You want to kind of give those a plug real quick at the top of the
show? Sure. You know, I just, several weeks ago really finished off the text for the House of the Future, Walt Disney, MIT, and Monsanto's vision of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so that's being designed and laid out as we speak, and that's coming out later this year. And also, believe it or not, I have another book from Disney Editions that's coming out in September, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas Visual Companion, which, by the way, I got to tell your audience, I wrote that book 5 years ago for the 25th anniversary. And, you know, it got delayed because Tim at the time was doing the Dumbo movie and they had some Dumbo books, and he has his own designer that he wants to have a hand in designing his books. So we were delayed a little bit because they were doing some Dumbo books. And then scheduling wise, it kind of got pushed along, and then the pandemic hit, and then they furloughed like most of the publishing group at Disney in 2020 and early, you know, for like 8-9 months. And then people started working at home. And so then they looked at it and said, well, let's just wait until the 30th anniversary. So, and I don't blame them, you know, I mean, I certainly would have liked for it to come out for the 25th, but you know what? It's going to come out this year for the 30th anniversary. And it's going to be a big celebration of Tim's movie. And I'm super proud of that book. And I'm glad it's going to finally see the light of day.
I am too.
I am very excited about that because that is one of my favorite movies. So I,
yeah. And you know, something I love that film myself. I did a little work on it when it was being made back in 92, 93. And, you know, having the opportunity to sort of write a behind the scenes of how that whole movie came together and go and interview a lot of the filmmakers. You know, I talked to most of the animators and a lot of the production people, the folks making the puppets and all of that. So there's a lot of really great stories behind the scenes. I spent some time with Danny Elfman and with Tim and with Henry Selick, who directed. And, you know, it's I think it's one of these books that just is going to reveal a lot more information about that movie and a lot more of the behind the scenes.
That's very awesome. Cool.
Can't wait. Well, I guess it's time for some food talk.
Yes.
So, Dave, why don't you tell us about your last visit over there to Napa Rose? Because it's one of our favorite restaurants there at the Disneyland Resort.
Yeah, you know, I love going to the Napa Rose. I mean, the executive chef there, Andrew Sutton, is just fantastic. And he's like the executive chef for the whole resort. But his like home base is Napa Rose. And I love that atmosphere. There's this craftsman style quality to the interior. They have a great wine list. And I generally, when I go there, by the way, I have the vintner's menu. So, you know, you pick from, you know, three or four categories and it's all paired with the wines.
That's right.
And
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And you know something, it's funny. I've often had people, you know, over the years say, hey, can you get me into Club 33? And I've always tried to steer them over to the Napa Rose and go, you know, I think you're going to love the Napa Rose much better, because it's difficult to get anybody into Club 33. I have a tough time getting in there sometimes. But I would say that the Napa Rose is a great experience, not only from a culinary standpoint, because the food is just off the charts as far as I'm concerned, but also the atmosphere. And one of the reasons why I really like the Napa Rose is just because it's kind of an open and it's airy. It's, you know, it feels nice. It feels comfortable. Whereas with Club 33, it's, you know, lower ceilings and it's a little smaller dining rooms. It's not as open for me. But I will say that since they had done the whole remodel of Club 33 and added that new section with the bar and everything, it's spectacular up there as well. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling people, you know, you can get a great experience at the Napa Rose as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. And they know their wines there, too. So if you like wine, I mean,
Dave does.
So do we. I mean, it's the perfect place to go. Incredible food, and they've got a fantastic wine list, and everybody who works there knows what pairs well with what. And
yeah,
so
they're all just really nice people. I mean, it's just a very knowledgeable staff. It's really just top to bottom, it's such a great experience. And you know, it's funny, on the wine list, you know, when you're going through the wine list, like, you'll see Silverado, which is, you know, Ron Miller and Diane Disney Miller's winery. They have the Silverado on there. I believe the last time I was there, there was wines from
Kurt Russell? Did he have his?
Russell from the Kurt Russell Winery. And
I think there was Skywalker's there too.
And I think also Fess Parker.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, in fact, I have a bottle of Fess Parker in my pantry with a little coonskin cap on it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. They make these little caps that go on top of the bottle.
That is so cool. Of course. I mean, you know, you'd expect that. But that's really cool. And we have not, Kristen and I have been lucky enough, Dave, to go to Club 33 before the remodel several times.
Yeah.
And hopefully when we make it back up there, we'll all have to go to Club 33.
Yeah, I know. I absolutely, you know, since the remodel, it's absolutely spectacular, you know. And by the way, you know, I'm not knocking it at all. There's a mystique to it, you know, and I get that, you know. But there's also, if you can't get in there, there's so many other great places, you know, just below just below Club 33, you've got the Blue Bayou restaurant at Pirates of the Caribbean, and I've really enjoyed going in there from time to time. In fact, I can tell you guys, many years ago, I took my group, my special projects group, I think it was like 18 of us, and we sort of did like a team building day. You know, which was an excuse for me to get a bus to take the whole staff down to Disneyland, and we had lunch in the Blue Bayou, you know, and it was so funny because, you know, I talked to the manager of the Blue Bayou and I told him I was going to bring this whole group down and want to have one big table and da 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 da. And it was totally like he was so great and, you know, put everything together and did a sort of a short menu that people could pick from, a couple of, you know, a starter and a couple of appetizers and stuff. And they just put the whole thing together. It was really fantastic.
Well, you know, it was, you know, Mardi Gras. So that's a perfect place to go for all of that stuff over there in New Orleans.
New Orleans Square. I mean,
it's square.
Yeah. But you know, actually one of my favorite sandwiches really is the Monte Cristo. Hmm. You know, I think that's like their signature, like one of their signature entrees is the Monte Cristo sandwich.
It is a must have for me every time we go.
Yeah.
Got
it. Really is.
That's a lot of food.
It is a lot of
food. It is.
Yeah, you got to be prepared. Or you could split it with someone.
Well, that's what Taylor and I did the one time. We split that and we split an order of fries.
There you go.
And we didn't even finish everything. Yeah. The two of us.
I do like the fact that over the years, Blue Bayou still remains that kind of charm, you know, still has that charm that has always really been there pretty much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And you know, it's also on a hot day at Disneyland. It's a very cool space. From an air conditioning standpoint, it's very, you know, it's sort of really cool in there.
When you're at Disneyland, Dave, when you're at Disneyland, sorry, my throat is killing me.
Well, there's not many restaurants that you can sit and dine and be a part of an attraction in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's an immersive space. You know, yeah. But you know, look, I have to say, I think it was last year sometime, I met a group of people down there, and we went and had corn dogs at the Little Red Wagon.
Yeah,
you know, and those are, I mean, just incredible. You know, it's right off the hub, right next to the Carnation restaurant. In fact, you can get your corn dogs from the truck and then go sit up at one of the tables on the patio outside the Carnation restaurant. And I have to tell you, they're probably the best hand-dipped corn dogs I've ever had. They really are good.
It's high praise. I love the corn dogs at Disneyland Resort. I absolutely love them.
Well, you always get the fried cheese over at Corn Dog Castle.
Which,
jeez, I love. You better go see a cardiologist, my friend.
I know. It's a guilty pleasure, but it's like, good thing I don't go there often because, whew, That'd be insane. But I mean, that's one of the best parts about being at the park, and especially at Disneyland, because their cart food is so good, as opposed to Disney World, you know,
well,
because
quick service and the carts overall is better at Disneyland, because there's a wider variety of things.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you see wider variety in like Epcot and Animal Kingdom, but other than that, it's a lot of your typical like quick service kind of food, like Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. I feel that.
Yeah.
So at Disneyland, you know, you go to the parks, you've got your hand in, you know, some attractions that have been there, et cetera, et cetera. But what's the Dave Bossert go-to snack and the go-to drink there when you're just hanging out at the park, maybe with the family or with a group of friends?
You can pick one thing from each park.
Sure. Why not?
You know, it's funny. If I go over to California Adventure, which I have to tell you a funny story. When they first built California Adventure, you know, there was a lot of controversy because there wasn't a lot of stuff in there. Right. And so they had this issue of, you know, huge crowds at Disneyland and then not a lot of people over at California Adventure, especially when the sun was going down. People would leave California. The people that were there would leave California Adventure and go into Disneyland because you had the fireworks and you had Fantasmic and there was a lot more stuff going on. Right. So they've fixed that by putting in World of Color, which I was involved with, and other things. But I spent a lot of time there when it was like the original small park with not a lot of stuff to do, because anytime it was overcast or it would be like a light drizzle, I would take Nancy and the girls. I'd say, hey, let's go down to Disneyland, and we'd go into California Adventure because it wouldn't be crowded.
Yeah.
You know, we'd walk on to, you know, Soarin', and we'd, you know, do a couple of things and then have lunch. And we'd either eat at the, you know, there was the winery restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of it, but we'd either go there, or if it wasn't, you know, too terrible, we'd go over to, I forget the name of the hot dog place there.
Award Wieners.
Yes, Award Wieners. Yes, Award Wieners has great hot dogs, you know. So, I mean, my go-to if I'm in California Adventure is Award Wieners and getting a hot dog. But I've also eaten at Carthay Circle and 1908, which is the sort of satellite Club 33 in there.
And we have not been in that.
No, we haven't been to that one, but we loved Circle, certainly.
Yeah, Carthay is nice. And you know, it's in Disneyland, my go-to really has to be the corn dogs.
Yeah.
You know, because the corn dog truck is just killer. You know,
it's all about the dog for you.
Yeah, they're so fresh. I really like them a lot. I can't think of any, you know, occasionally I get the Rice Krispie treat, you know, the chocolate dipped Rice Krispie treat, you know, on a stick, you know, something like that.
Well, you're no stranger to amusement parks because you're actually a New Yorker.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
I went to Playland in Rye, New York a number of times, and Coney Island. And of course, if I go to Coney Island, I'm going to the original Nathan's.
That's right.
Yeah. Nathan's hot dogs, and they have killer fries as well.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
I love those fries.
Are they the hand cut type?
Yeah, I think they do the hand cut crinkles still, I think.
Crinkle?
Oh. Is it crinkle?
Yeah, they're crinkle cut fries.
Crinkle cut.
Yeah,
it's been a minute since I've been to that airport. It's the closest I can get down there because I haven't been over to actual you know, the actual park itself. But
yeah, I mean, Coney Island's fantastic. But you know, I have to say, I actually, and I've told this to a number of people, I've actually been to I was at Walt Disney World twice before I ever went to Disneyland.
Oh yeah.
So my first visit to Disneyland wasn't until 1980 when I moved out to Los Angeles. But when I was growing up in New York, my parents took us all down to Walt Disney World. I remember being there in 1976, bicentennial year. And you got to remember the park then, it was the Magic Kingdom and a couple of resorts. That's all that was there. Yeah. So it's really grown since then.
It's come a long way, Dave.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
So, out of curiosity, have you been to Avengers Campus recently?
No.
Not yet?
Okay. I haven't.
I was going to ask you. We're going to talk about Ant-Man on Skull Rock for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, I did see that on in IMAX. It's a spectacle.
It is something else. It is.
Yeah. And you know something, it's all about Paul Rudd.
It's true.
Paul Rudd is so great. He's just got such a great presence.
Yeah, you can't say that they didn't have good casting for Ant-Man, because everybody plays such a great role in that film.
Yeah.
It's such a great role. But moving on, you know, from Disneyland, do you have any other Disneyland questions or thoughts?
Well, you know, the thing I was going to mention about the Disneyland Resort is all the restaurants that they have on Downtown Disney.
Yeah,
you know, and we've had breakfast a number of times at the La Brea Bakery, which is now being taken out and replaced.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Earl of Sandwich.
They got Earl of Sandwich.
They're putting an Earl of Sandwich there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I haven't eaten at an Earl of Sandwich. Have you?
We yes. love it.
Do you?
We love it.
You gonna tell them about your favorite sandwich there?
Oh, it's Thanksgiving. It's a turkey Thanksgiving sandwich.
Oh, has it got cranberry on it?
The holiday,
yes. It's got the turkey, the smoked turkey, and the cranberry sauce in there.
And some stuffing?
Stuffing. Yeah. It's
oh, man. Really, do they have that year-round or only at the holidays?
I think they have it year-round, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. You know, they actually opened an Earl of Sandwich not far from my home. I never had a chance to go over to it because it opened and then it closed.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, it was only there for a couple of months, and I kept saying, I want to go over there and get a sandwich. And when I finally decided to go over there, it had been closed down.
I wonder if it was just a victim of the pandemic.
I doubt it, because I think it closed down before the pandemic.
Oh, is that right?
So I just think it was where it was located. It was a terrible location.
Hmm.
You know, I think a place like that needs to have a lot more in the way of foot traffic. And this location they picked was just a bad location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like the Red Robin we had over by the mall. That was at a really, really weird place in the parking lot.
Really weird place. Well, anyway, well, that's cool. I mean, you know, that I love, well, I don't know what else we could say about the location, the Earl of Sandwich.
The Earl of Sandwich. But you know something, I will say though, I do like the fact that they do change things out periodically. You know, I just hope they never get rid of the Red Wagon with the corn dogs.
Yeah.
Because I actually think that the line that forms for those corn dogs is unbelievable, and it's amazing how quickly they keep, you know, turning out those hand-dipped corn dogs for people. They must be making a bazillion dollars per square foot for that little truck. You know,
yeah, I wonder how much those carts make, because they absolutely turn so quickly.
Well, that one, and then you have the popcorn as you enter the park. That I think those are two that I don't think you can change them, because I think people would probably riot over that.
Yeah.
Like, don't cry.
You know, the other thing I do enjoy is a soft serve ice cream, you know, and it's funny because like when I go up to Maine every summer and there's these like roadside shacks that have, you know, soft serve. And I have to tell you, you know, soft serve ice cream for me, when I have one, it makes me feel like I'm on vacation.
I love that. I love that. And that's the way we feel when we have Dole Whips, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just, but you're absolutely right. You know, this food brings back so much nostalgia. The corn dogs, the churros, the popcorn, and of course the soft serve, the Dole Whip.
I never do the popcorn at the parks. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think the reason why I don't do the popcorn at the parks is because I go to the movies every week, and I don't have popcorn every week, but periodically I get a bucket of popcorn, and I just like associate popcorn with being at the movies.
Yeah.
And I don't want to walk around the park, you know, digging my hand into a bag for popcorn and having buttery, greasy fingers. You know what I mean? So I just never get the popcorn at the parks.
Well, you mentioned the downtown Disney area. There are so many great eateries in downtown Disney. Other than, you know, La Brea, which, you know, rest in peace, La Brea. Is there any other places that you like over there?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. You know, we talked about the little winery restaurant that's in downtown Disney, in California Adventure, and the Ward Wieners. Trying to think if I don't think there's really anything else down there that I frequent that much. You know, there's a couple of places I've been into once or twice, you know, you know, I have most of my memorable dining experiences outside of the Napa Rose or Club 33 are down in Orlando. And, you know, we talked about some of those when I was on the show a couple of years ago. You know, Flying Fish at the Boardwalk Resort is probably my favorite restaurant at the Walt Disney World Resort, because of that potato crusted red snapper dish. That their signature dish there is just killer. And if you haven't experienced that, you should at least do it once, because I just think that's such a great restaurant. And and of course, at the top of the Contemporary, if it's still there, the California Grill.
Still there.
Which is a really, I think, a terrific restaurant. And if you get a table by the windows, you know, if you're positioned properly, you can actually see the fireworks show.
Yeah.
From up there, which is really killer. And I have such a great memory of that restaurant because I went up there and had dinner with Roy E. Disney. Ooh, and okay. And as we were finishing dinner, the fireworks were going off.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just, you know, and any place you went, you know, anytime you went to one of the parks with Roy E., it was like, you were walking around with the platinum card next to you, you know, the full on backstage pass guy, you know.
I was going to say he's the ultimate all access pass. Not that you did it already, because you're already there, Dave, working on the parks and everything. You know, you've got all the credentials to wear around your neck. But I mean, to have the man with the last name Disney, you know, pull out his cobalt card.
Hey, you know, I have to say, it's you know, there was a lot of great experiences down there. But, you know, that's a terrific restaurant. I also like Narcosis, which is over by the Floridian. That's right on the lagoon, and that's a great restaurant.
And they just refurbished it and redid the menu.
Wow. Yeah, I've got to go check that out next time I go down to Orlando, because I know I haven't been down to Orlando it's got to be 4 or 5 years now.
Time, and maybe, just maybe, when the Nightmare book comes out, you might be doing a little bit of a book tour there at the parks, perhaps. And,
yeah, maybe. We're gonna see.
That'd be really cool. But you know, we do love, you know, going there over Narcosis. It's one of our favorite places to celebrate our anniversary, actually, along with the Flying Fish. So we have a lot of the same taste for sure.
Well, they have the best dessert at Narcosis. Almond crusted cheesecake.
Ooh, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, you know, and I'm trying to think what else is down there that I've really, you know, I'm a creature of habit. So, you know, when I traveled to Orlando to the resort for business on a regular basis, I mean, sometimes I'd be down there a half dozen times a year. I'd always want to stay at the Boardwalk just because I would squeeze in a dinner at the Flying Fish, even if I ate at the counter, you know. And that's the other thing that I love about some of those restaurants. Like, you know, we were talking about Napa Rose. They have the chef's counter.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you can go and you're sitting there. You're not sitting across from your partner. You're sitting side by side looking into the kitchen. And then you have the chefs coming over and explaining the dishes to you. And so the Flying Fish has a similar thing where you can sit at the counter looking in at the kitchen. You're not necessarily, you know, talking with the chefs, because that's more of a, you know, a table service to the bar. But you're seeing everything going on, and it's part of that immersion into the whole culinary world. And that's, you know, just a great experience.
I love open kitchens like that where you can see cooking the food. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's sort of like a big show being put on, you know, and you're benefiting from the show with a great meal that's being dropped down in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like watching an episode of Iron Chef, but there's no competition there.
There you go.
You can feel all the flames. You can feel the flame heat from the kitchen. And you get to see you literally see how it's made. You know, it's like, I usually say, yeah, a lot of people, they don't want to know how the sausage is created and how the sausage is made. And you literally see how the sausage is made. So,
yeah, but you know something, I think there's something to be said about that because, you know, those kitchens are super clean and the people working in them, they know what they're doing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you go into some restaurants, you don't know what's going on behind the doors, you know?
Oh, yeah. you definitely take your chances, but
I think often those places give better quality food because they can be seen.
Yeah.
Such a way that, you know, there's less chance of mistakes or, you know, people can't be lazy or being watched.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but I think, you know, I think the common thread for me with any of the Disney restaurants at the resorts or on the cruise ships is just the immersion into a space. You know, they're all themed in some way, shape or form. You know, I love the interior design of the Flying Fish. I also love the interiors of the yacht and the beach club and some of the little restaurants and bars they've got in there. It's just, you know, part of going out and having food and drink is the environment you're sitting in. You know, the coziness of it and all of that. And that's what I really love about going to a lot of those restaurants around the resorts.
Now, you mentioned Disney Cruise Line and you've worked on one of the restaurants, right?
Yeah, okay. I actually worked on a show that's in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So the show director, the guy in charge of it, the guy who really came up with the concept is Jerry Reese. We had him on the Skull Rock podcast as a guest not too long ago. But you know, with that particular experience, the idea was, as a guest, you come into this dining room and you get seated and you have a paper placemat in front of you and some crayons, and you can draw a character. And it doesn't matter whether you're really good or terrible, or you just got to do a stick figure. You just draw something within the space that's given you, and the servers collect those before you start your meal. And while you're eating, they're scanning those drawings into computer system. And they're being mapped. Your drawings being mapped onto pre-animated geometry, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you're having your dessert, they do this whole show in the dining room where you've got this beautiful Mickey animation and he's marching out and he's leading this parade of guest drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, when you see it, it's a very magical experience, because you as a guest, whether you have any talent or not, you've done some kind of a drawing and now you're getting the chance to see it, you know, in motion. It's moving, it's animating. And it was, I have to, you know, give kudos to Jerry Reese, because it's just a killer concept. And you know, I it was just an honor to be part of the team that helped put that whole thing together on the cruise ship. And again, you know, these are fun things that add to this immersion, that you know, this immersive experience that you have when you go into some of these restaurants, whether it's at a resort or on the cruise ship.
It's awesome. Animator's Palette.
Animator's Palette. That was it. Yes.
It's a great restaurant. And a lot of people don't know, but Jerry Reese is when he's probably the most awarded Imagineer, I guess you can call Imagineer, around, because he's won so many theme park awards over the course of, you know, decades. And so that's really cool that you guys teamed up for that. And it's still cool. You know, it's state of the art. And I think he even won an award for Animator's Palette.
Yeah, I do think that there was a Thea Award for that.
Yes.
I would love to see my Mickey head brought to life, because that's the thing I can draw, like, from memory, and it looks like, you know, the character. Whereas like everything else I draw, it's not there. But then again, I've probably drawn Mickey couple hundred times or so.
You're gonna have to take a cruise. You're gonna have to go on the cruise ship and experience it.
We'll go on a cruise. We'll take the kiddos with us.
Once the boy is potty trained.
Yes, he's getting there, Dave. We're getting there.
All right.
We're getting there.
All right. Awesome.
What an awesome show, Dave. Thank you so much for being here on the show. We appreciate it. And why don't you give a plug once again for, you know, your website and all the books there?
Yeah, you know, something, if you want to check out, you know, everything on my website, it's davidbossert.com. You can also, if you're interested in any of my books, there's links from the book pages on my website to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. You can also go to theoldmillpress.com. They've got a bunch of my books and some other books that are Disney related, if you're interested in that. You know, again, it's going to be a great year, because the Nightmare Before Christmas book is up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million for pre-order. It's releasing September 26th. And then the House of the Future book is releasing in October.
That is exciting stuff. And we'll have all of those links in our show notes.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back on. I love coming on your show and talking about food at the parks.
Oh, we can't wait. Next time.
It's not going to be 2 years.
Exactly. And you know, come back anytime, Dave. You know, you've got a new project coming up, and we'll talk shop a little bit. And maybe next time we'll talk about some more of your attractions that you worked on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be a lot of fun. You know, by the way, I will mention, you know, I did a book, The Animator's Gallery, Eric Goldberg Draws the Disney Characters. That book came about because I had brought Eric on to do drawings for a restaurant at Shanghai Disneyland. You know, and it was kind of in the style of Al Hirschfeld caricatures of the Disney characters that were going to be framed and put on the walls of a restaurant in Shanghai Disneyland, sort of like the Brown Derby down at the Walt Disney Studios Park, or Sardi's, the old Sardi's restaurant, you know, where they had caricatures of the stars. stars up on the walls. But when Eric was done, you know, with these like 150 character drawings from every you know film, you know, including the Fab Five, but you know, all the features from Snow White up until, I guess, at that time it must have been Big Hero 6, I think.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I looked at this body of work, I was like, oh, we should put all of this in a book. Yeah. You know, and so I pitched it over to Disney Editions, and they jumped at it. So it's a beautiful book that's available out there.
Well, there you go. Please check it out. An Animator's Gallery. Eric Goldberg draws the Disney characters, and Eric is also just, what a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. Eric.
Yes, met him absolutely.
23 once. He's just a really, really nice guy, and can't believe, you know, he's still doing it after all these years. Still doing it.
I know, it's crazy.
It's absolutely amazing. Dave, thank you so much for being the mensch that you are.
You're just, hey, it was my pleasure. I look forward to coming back and seeing you guys soon. Take care.
All right, Dave. Adios, Dave. Yeah. Well, there you go. I love it. Dave, you're on the show. It's like I just talked to him.
That's it. I mean, because you did.
Yeah, it is. It's great, though. Anyway, thanks for... Oh, that's your line.
This is not Skull Rock Podcast. This is my podcast.
I'm so sorry, honey.
You're co-hosting.
Go ahead.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you haven't already, make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.
Oh.
You have one job.
I have
Come
one
on.
Job. I know. Sorry.
If you enjoy what we do, please consider supporting the show. You can do so by becoming a sponsor or supporter on Anchor, or you can shop our links. We've got Amazon, Disney Store, Kingdom Stroller, and Garden Grocer. Al John, do you want to tell them where they can find Dining at Disney?
Well, of course. You can find Dining at Disney and on their social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me, Al John Go, on Instagram as well. And don't forget, you can check out our other podcasts like Skull Rock Podcast with me and Dave Bossert every single week, dropping you behind the scenes of some of your favorite Disney films and books and streaming, all that good news. And then also, Kat, our other co-host, she co-hosts Eat the Pictures, bite-sized podcast full of food and film that you need to check out as well. And don't forget, you can join our Facebook group, which is growing by leaps and bounds every day, Dining at Disney. You can check out our friends at Disney Dorks and the Sorcerer Radio Fun Zone.
And also, for all of your Disney, Universal, and Cravel. My gosh. Cruise travel.
You're just making
great.
Up words.
Making it words. I'm having your problem of talking that you had last week.
Yeah, and I'm a professional.
Cruise travel. Whether it be river or the giant big ocean liners, you can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. My services are free. Until next time, bon appetit.
Bye, Dave. See you next time.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.